We will move on to Sarah Lorrou talking about new high-frequency radio observations of the Sickens loop.
Okay. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. In this presentation, I will show the new radio observations of the supernova remnant Sickens loop that we obtained up to high radio frequencies with the Italian radio telescopes operating in single dish mode. First, I will briefly introduce the radio spectra of evolved supernova remnants and their implication on the cosmic rays studies. And then I will describe how we exploited the single dish performance of Italian radio telescopes in order to investigate the high radio frequency spectral features of evolved supernova remnants, and in particular our project dedicated to the characterization of the integrated spectrum of Sickens loop. Finally, I describe the main conclusion related with our work and the future work related with it. Supernova remnants exhibit spectra typically featured by synchrotron emission in the radio band produced by accelerated emitting relativistic emitting electrons and high energy emission produced both by leptonic processes like Bremsstrahlung and inverse Compton from radio electrons interacting with the ambient photons and hadronic processes, process of pi zero meson decay, which is a direct signature of cosmic rays accelerated in supernova remnants. In the radio band, the spectral energy distribution of supernova remnants is well represented by a simple power law with a spectral index around 0.5. And from gamma ray observations of evolved supernova remnants like W44 and IC443, which showed spectral steepening in the spectra of the primary particles for these sources around 10 gigaelectron volts for W44 and 100 gigaelectron volts for IC443, a synchrotron spectral steepening in the radio band is expected above around 10 gigaelectron volts, gigahertz, sorry. And but a direct estimation of the frequency at which this steepening takes place in the radio band is crucial to better constraining the maximum energy of the electrons accelerated in these supernova remnants. However, the characterization of the integrated spectra of evolved supernova remnants is difficult due to the lack of sensitive flux density measurements above around 5 and 10 gigahertz. That's because high frequency radio observations are difficult to perform for this kind of sources. Indeed, interferometric observations provide a lot of information about the morphology of evolved supernova remnants, but sensitive flux density measurements are difficult to obtain for large structure, for large sources, above 1 gigahertz, around 1 gigahertz. And however, single dish telescopes like the Sardinia radio telescope and the Medicina radio telescope can offer a good trade-off between sensitivity and resolution in the frequency range between 5 and 15 gigahertz, allowing us to obtain sensitive single dish maps of super large supernova remnants up to high radio frequencies. And in this context, a program dedicated to the observation of supernova remnants was carried out during the first early science phase of the Sardinia Radio Telescope, and with the aim of characterize the integrated spectra of the two evolved supernova remnants W44 and IC443, we observed these sources at three different radio frequencies, 1.5, 7, and 21.4 GHz. And thanks to these observations, we observed for the first time indications of synchrotron spectral steepening in the integrated spectrum of W44 at a frequency of 15 GHz. And by considering a magnetic field in the range between 20 and 90 microgauss, which is expected from the completion theory of the interstellar medium magnetic field, this result allowed us to constraining the maximum energy of the electrons accelerated in this supernova remnant in the energy range between 6 and 30 GeV. The same study performed on the supernova remnant IC443 showed that our flux density measurements are consistent with the spectral model, which include the spinning dust emission contribute, and in particular our point at 21.4 GHz independently supports the bump observed between 20 and 70 GHz and confirms the trend suggested by the low resolution Planck measurement around 30 GHz. In view of the results obtained with the Sardinia Radio Telescope in the context of the single dish imaging of large supernova remnants, we decided to observe the very large and interesting supernova remnant Sinus Loop. Sinus Loop is one of the well-studied middle-age supernova remnant, and radio polarimetric observations suggested that probably Sinus Loop is composed of two interacting remnants which are characterized by different radio emission and magnetic field configuration. Synchrotron spectral steepening is expected for this middle-age supernova remnant, but accurate flux density measurements are available only up around 5 GHz. Indeed, Sinus Loop was observed at higher radio frequencies with the Planck instruments, but the source is well detected only at 30 GHz, which low resolution that makes difficult to obtain accurate flux density measurements. So the aim of our project is to study the interesting morphology of Sinus Loop by using sensitive single dish maps in this unexplored frequency range. Then we observed Sinus Loop at 8.5 GHz with the Medicina Radio Telescope, and we obtained the higher frequency map of Sinus Loop ever obtained with a single dish telescope. In our map, we can distinguish the two main shells and the central filament of the main northern shell, as well as the southern shell. We used this map in order to obtain sensitive flux density measurement indicated in red in this plot, and we coupled this point with the flux density measurements available in literature in order to characterize the integrated spectrum of these sources. And we used a simple power law function in order to model the spectral energy distribution. And we can see that our point rules out any possible spectral flattening or steepening up to high radio frequencies, and supports the trend suggested by the low resolution Planck measurement at 30 GHz. Then we decided to independently study the two main shells of sinus loop, and in particular we focused on the northern bright filament and the southern shell. And with this aim, we included the sinus loop in our last observing project with the Sardinia Radio Telescope, which is ended the last month, and that we dedicated to the high radio frequency and polarimetric observations of supernova remnants at 7 and 20 GHz. In this slide, I show the map obtained of the northern filament of sinus loop obtained with the Sardinia Radio Telescope at 7 GHz. With a resolution of 2.7 arc minutes. And I compare this map with that obtained with the Medicina Radio Telescope at 8.5 GHz. And I also show the related flux density measurements. We also observed the northern filament at 20 GHz with the Sardinia Radio Telescope, obtaining the highest frequency map of this region of sinus loop ever obtained. And we used these preliminary flux density measurements in order to study the integrated spectrum of this region of sinus loop. And we can see that our results suggest a possible spectral steepening between 10 and 20 GHz. And this result is very important because it allows us to better constrain the maximum energy of the electrons accelerated in this particular peculiar region of sinus loop, where probably the blast wave encounters molecular material. And indeed, sinus loop was observed in the gamma ray band, and a maximum energy of accelerated particles is expected in the range between 1 and 10 gigaelectrovolts. However, a more accurate constraint on this maximum energy from radio observations could be crucial to better understand the nature of the shocks in this region and of the particle acceleration mechanisms. Finally, I showed the first images of sinus loop at 7, 8.5 and 20 GHz, proving that sensitive single dish observations allow us to characterize the integrated spectra of evolved supernova remnants and are crucial in order to assess the high energy tail of the distribution of cosmic rays accelerated in these sources. Furthermore, by coupling the information about the maximum energy of the accelerated particles in middle age supernova remnants obtained from the gamma ray observation, and the estimation of the radio frequency at which the synchrotron spectral break takes place could allow us to constrain the magnetic field strength in this object. For example, by considering a synchrotron spectral break in the range between 10 and 20 GHz for primary particles, which for which a maximum energy of the particles is expected from the gamma ray observation around 10 gigaelectron volts, we can constrain the magnetic field in between a few tens of microgauss to 100 microgauss. On the other hand, by considering a spectra dominated by secondary electrons with maximum energy of 1-2 gigaelectron volts, we can see that an enhanced magnetic field with values around few milligauss is expected. Finally, our aim for the future is to use the data, radio and polarimetric data acquired in our last observing project with the Sardinia Radio Telescope in order to study the integrated spectrum of the southern shell of Cygnus Loop. And thank you.
Thank you very much. Question, Rob, you have a question?
The presence of two supernova remnants in the Cygnus Loop is fairly controversial. Does your data address that at all? Can you tell one way or the other that there are actually two supernova remnants making up the Cygnus Loop?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
The notion that the Cygnus Loop actually consists of two separate Cygnus, two separate remnants, is fairly controversial. Does your data can it distinguish between a single remnant or two remnants from these high frequency observations?
I think that in this case could be useful our polarimetric data, because we can use this data in order to characterize the orientation of the magnetic field in the different remnants, and so better understand if there are substantial differences between the two shells. I think that this could be useful.
Okay.
Any more questions? I have a question myself, actually. So if you know, you could have a steepening because of two effects. Maybe the electrons are escaping, like maybe it's happening with the protons, which affect the gamma ray spectrum. But you could also have aging of the singleton radiation. Do you expect singleton cooling? Do you expect a cooling break in your frequency band or not?
Could be a process that could contribute to feature the integrated spectra at these frequencies. So could be unexpected to investigate in this case.
Okay, thank you. If there are no more questions, then let's thank the speaker again.